Hey, it's Pastor Jerry Burns. Thank you so much for joining us on Timeless Truths Radio Ministry. We got a wonderful program planned for you this wonderful Sunday morning. We're going to continue our series in 1 Timothy. What does the Bible say about the many false religions that surround us? We have some wonderful music. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Timeless Truths.
My burden, the more that I serve, the sweeter my song. So great was my sin, but greater the pardon. And now I walk, and with Jesus I talk as I travel along.
The journey here sometimes gets lonely as we are looking to the sky, but work for Him is growing easy ever since I realized.
The longer my road, the lesser my burden, the more that I serve, the sweeter my song. So great was my sin, but greater the pardon. And now I walk, and with Jesus I talk as I travel along.
Some morning soon, my Lord will take me to that fair land of wondrous light. But until then, I'll keep on walking, because I know He's by my side.
The longer my road, the lesser my burden, the more that I serve, the sweeter my song. So great was my sin, but greater the pardon. And now I walk, and with Jesus I talk as I travel along.
The longer my road,
the lesser my burden, the more that I serve, the sweeter my song. So great was my sin, but greater the pardon. And now I walk in with Jesus.
Hi, it's Pastor Jerry Burns. Thank you so much for joining us for Timeless Truths Radio Ministry. It's getting cold out there. As you drive down the road, you see more and more Christmas lights begin to appear. As we get closer to the end of November, we start moving into December, and Christmas is just around the corner. And I invite you to come and be a part of our services at Kitchener Baptist Church as we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus. Our theme for Christmas is Celebrate Christmas, and that is Bold Christ. Celebrate Christ. Jesus is the reason for the season. And so I hope that you'll join us and come and worship the Lord with us at Kitchener Baptist Church. We're excited about what God is doing and the various ministries that we are a part of here at Kitchener Baptist Church. We are studying the book of 1 Timothy, and we've studied about the pastor and the deacons, and we've looked at the gospel of the Lord Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we are to have God's house decently in order, because it is the pillar and the ground of truth. And the truth is that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. He was believed on in the world. He was received up into glory. This is a part of the great event of godliness, God making us acceptable by washing our sins away, giving us a home in heaven. And so the Bible stresses for us that this is the church of the living God. This is the pillar and the ground of truth. This is the house of God. And we have the greatest message in all the world, the gospel of the Lord Jesus. At Kitchener Baptist Church, we support over 30 missionaries that go throughout this world and preach the gospel that God became a man. He was justified by the Holy Spirit. He was ministered to by angels. He was preached to the Gentiles. He was believed on around the world, and he was taken up into heaven. And so Christ left his mark on this world, and that is his church. And Paul said, behave yourself in the house of God. Behave yourself. Can you imagine if you borrowed a car from someone and you drove that car around for a while, and then you returned that car? Only when you returned it, you changed the paint color, you changed the seats and added some features, and you gave that car back to that individual. Can you imagine what they would say? They would say, hey, buddy, you know, you borrowed my car and you completely changed it. We need to remember that we are a steward of that car, not an owner. We're taking care of it for someone else. We have no business changing it to satisfy our needs. And I think that's what has happened to the Church of the Living God today. We are stewards of the Lord's church. The Bible says that Christ is the head of his church. It's his church. And we have taken that church and we have altered it. We have changed it to meet our needs, to meet our desires. And the Bible says, listen, you need to behave yourself in the house of God and follow the example given to us in the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1, the Bible says, now the Spirit speaketh expressively, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. The Apostle Paul wrote this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. He said, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither in spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The Bible says that that day shall come, and there will be a falling away first. The Bible teaches us that as we come closer to the end of this age, that there will be a falling away from the truth. There will be what Bible teachers call a great apostasy. Now we find in our text the revelation of the falling away. In verse number 1, the Spirit of God had emphatically taught Paul these truths. It was not by hints or shadowy images or even guesses. This revelation given by God was in plain matter. The Bible says the Spirit speaketh expressively. Timothy, you need to listen to what I have to say, verse 1, because in the latter times during this church age, there will be those that will depart from the faith. Paul revealed this truth to the church at Thessalonica as well. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, John said, little children, it is the last time, and ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time, or the last period, or speaking here of the last age, the age of grace, we call it the church age. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So the gospel was a mystery that soon was revealed by Christ and then the apostles, that Christ gave his life for Jew and Gentile alike, and that this church age was really hidden from the prophet's sight. They saw the crucified Lord. They saw the glorified Lord, but they didn't see this age, this church age, this age of grace that would come. And so the Bible says that in this church age, don't be surprised, because there will be a falling away. There will be those who will leave, or those that reject the faith. And we have in our world today so many different false truths. You know, as we look at what the Bible says and all of the different religions in the world, and you kind of scratch your head and you say, why are there all of these different religions in our world today? And we know that the Bible prophesies that in the last day, in this age, there will be those that will turn away from the faith. Now, notice the reason for the falling away in verse number one. The Bible says there shall be a falling away, and we see that this falling, this the English word here, we get our English word apostate, and the meaning is that they would apostatize from the belief of the truths of the gospel. And it does not mean that as an individual, they would have been true Christians, but there would be a departure from the great doctrines which constitute the Christian faith. They would give heed to seducing spirits. Instead of being led by God, they would follow after any spirit that leads men into error. And the most obvious and natural construction is to refer it to the agency of following spirits. The Bible speaks of the doctrines of devils or the teachings of demons. And so we think of all of the religions that are in the world today, apart from the truth of the word of God, thus saith the Lord. We know that demonic activity is involved in the creation of these various religions. In 1823, Joseph Smith said that he was visited by an angel named Moroni, who told him of an ancient record containing God's dealings with the former inhabitants of the American continent. In 1827, Joseph received this record inscribed on thin golden plates, and shortly afterward, being translated its words by the gift of God, the resulting manuscript became the Book of Mormon, and it was published in March 1830. On April 6, 1830, Joseph Smith organized the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and became its first president. Now, from the contradiction that Mormonism teaches from the Bible, I would say that it is a teaching of devils. And you say, well, do you believe that an angel came named Moroni came to Joseph Smith? I absolutely do. But the Bible says to test the spirits to see if they be of God. And so the Word of God teaches us that in this last days, there's going to be a falling away. There's going to be many false doctrines in our world today. The spirit of Antichrist is all around us. And so we are to test the spirits to see if they be of God. Now, notice the report of what's being taught. We find the revelation of the falling away. We find the reason for the falling away. And now there's the report of what's being taught. So the Bible says, first of all, they are speaking lies in hypocrisy. Speaking of lies is consistent throughout the entire verse. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So first of all, their conscience is seared with a hot iron. This is the problem with false religion. If you hear it long enough, you really start to believe it, and you become hard toward the truth. Now, the allusion here is to the effect of applying a hot iron to the skin, and that skin becomes hard, it becomes rigid, it becomes dead to sensitivity, and this is what the Bible is teaching here. If you ever witnessed, gave the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone that is deep into a false religion, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, it's hard to get through to them. Why? Because they've been taught a certain way. They've been given answers to really the truth that you give to them. And so their conscience has become hardened and they are not sensitive to the working of the Holy Spirit as they used to be. And then notice also the teaching here, verse 3, they teach forbidding to marry. Now, this does not necessarily mean that they would prohibit marriage altogether, but that it would be a characteristic of their teaching that marriage would be forbidden. In verse 3, the Bible says that they teach commanding to abstain from meat. The word meat in the scripture commonly denotes food of all kind. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 4, and the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat or his food was locusts and wild honey. Never ever tried locusts before. I've had honey, not wild honey, but I've had honey, but not never locusts. I'm not sure if I would like it though. But John's food, the food that he ate, the diet that he had was locusts and wild honey. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible says, no scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. He's worthy of his food. So when the Bible talks about here in this passage of scripture, commanding to abstain from meat, what the Bible is saying is that they command in their doctrine, in these false teachers, these false religions, they command that particular meat, particular food is off limits. And understand this, the reason why I want to stress this is because what they teach you is that by abstaining from these particular meats, it makes you more holy. It makes you more acceptable to God. It makes you nearer to God. This is the teaching that they have. Now, the Jews were commanded not to eat certain foods. These dietary restrictions were what I believe are illustrated in the book of Daniel, when Daniel would not eat the king's meat, but he followed the dietary restrictions of the Jews. These were for health reasons. The reason why God did this was not so that God's people would be nearer to him, or that by doing these, by following these restrictions, they would be more holy, but because God was wiser than all the heathen nations and all their false gods, obviously. And so by following these dietary restrictions, God's people became a light to these heathen nations. You think of Daniel, the example of Daniel. Daniel became stronger because he followed God's way. And this is what God wanted Israel to be. Israel was to be a shining light. They were to show other nations that they served the true God, Jehovah God. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 8, the Bible says, the Holy Ghost, thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience. All of the sacrifices that God's people performed, none of that could ever make them holy. Sacrificing a lamb didn't wash away their sins. It was a picture of faith that they looked to the Son of God, that Jesus would come, born in Bethlehem, would be nailed to a rugged cross outside of Jerusalem. This was the picture of the Lord Jesus, verse 10, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. So all of the things that they performed was a picture of a better time when Jesus would come. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now, in the New Testament, Peter learned from God that what God created, he shouldn't eat. Jesus said, Peter, kill and eat. What I call clean, don't call unclean. God created food for one purpose, and that is to nourish man. God created food for the nourishment of humanity. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 18, the Bible says, behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. We get this idea that God doesn't want us to enjoy our life. God wants us to enjoy our life. God created all of this world so that we can enjoy it. It was for his glory, it was for his honor, but God wants us to enjoy our life. God gives to us, an abundant life. If you know Jesus as your Savior, if you're born again, if your sins are washed away, he wants you to have abundant life. How can we enjoy the life that we have? Well, let me say this. Try to see life from God's perspective. Don't look at life from your own perspective or look at life from your own paradigm. Look from God's perspective. We need to solve problems God's way. We need to get into the Bible and to seek the face of the Lord and to get into the Word of God. God will give us wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of the Lord. And so solve our problems God's way. We need to listen more and talk less. You know, I was always told as a child, you have two ears and one mouth. Listen twice as much as you speak. And I think there's truth to that. We need to listen more than we talk. And we need to put God first in our life. God needs to have our first place in our heart and in our life. Barnes said this. He said, there can be no doubt that in the apostasy here referred to, those things would be forbidden, not because they were injurious or hurtful in their nature, but because it might be made part of a system of religion, of self-righteousness, and because there might be connected with such the belief of special merit. So in other words, they added to these abstaining from marriage, abstaining from certain foods. They added to these laws, these rules, the idea that if you do these things, you're going to be more holy. You're going to be closer to God. And so the Bible says in verse 4, for every creature of God is good. Genesis 1:10, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. God only creates that which is good. You say, well, if you look at our world today, Pastor Burns, it's not that good. No, well, sin tainted the good that God made. Men and angels were good as they were made at first, but men sinned against God. And because of that, our world is cursed. Because of that, all of humanity is born with a sinful nature. And the Bible says that nothing is to be refused. Nothing that God has made for the purpose of which it was designed should be refused. God made food to nourish our bodies, and those things are not to be refused. Now, remember, there are things in our world today that God made that are poisonous, that are dangerous, that hurt our bodies. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And those things are to be refused. But food as a way of nourishing our bodies and marriage, which God instituted, those things are not to be refused. They are to be done properly. They are to be done within the limits of God's word and God's instruction, but they are not to be refused, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. The Bible says, Ephesians 5 verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So the Bible teaches us that we are to accept these things, the food that God provides us, we are to accept it with thanksgiving. For it is, 1 Timothy 4 verse 5, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. It is sanctified by the word of God and prayer, by the authority, by the permission of God. And it would be profane, or it would be unholy, if he would have forbidden it. Genesis chapter 1 verse 29, the Bible says, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, for you it shall be for meat. Genesis 9 verse 3, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb which I have given.
We're glad that you joined us for this week's program. Timeless Truths is a ministry of Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario. We are a refreshingly conservative Baptist church that stands on the preaching and power of the Word of God. We would love for you to worship the Lord with us. We meet on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our midweek Bible study. If you would like to send your prayer request to Timeless Truths, we would love to pray for you and with you. You can email your request to prayer@kitchenerbaptist.org, or you can reach us by mail at Timeless Truths Radio Ministry, 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. Once again, that is 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. If you have been helped by this ministry, we would love to hear your story. Call us at 519-579-2236 or connect with us through our website at timelesstruths.ca. There you will find beneficial resources and hear more helpful messages from Pastor Jerry Burns. We hope that today's program has encouraged you. Pastor Burns has served at Kitchener Baptist Church for almost 10 years. If he can be of any spiritual help to you or your family, please let him know. Thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time when we open the Bible and discover God in His timeless truths.
It's Pastor Jerry Burns, and again, I want to thank you for tuning into our program this Lord's Day. Our society is in a crisis. The Bible teaches us that it is God's Word that will make a difference in our lives. And yet our churches today have turned away from the Bible. The Bible has been replaced with entertainment, and we have left, thus saith the Lord. I want to invite you to a church that still preaches the Bible. At Kitchener Baptist Church, we'll have a time of singing, and then we'll open the Word of God, and we'll see what God is thinking about. We'll see what God cares about. We'll see what God has to say to us. I hope you'll join us this morning at 10:30 at Kitchener Baptist Church. God bless you.